Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to our show, Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We have a new guest this evening that we haven't talked to before. I'm going to probably butcher his name, but I'll try anyway. Jake Morfonius, and he has a very interesting YouTube channel, and I believe he has another website that's called the End Times Report or something to that effect. But I'll go ahead and bring Jake onto the air. And Jake, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and welcome to the show. I know we haven't really had the chance to interact very much, but maybe we'll just
get to
know each other tonight. Tell the listeners, first of all, about your YouTube channel, and don't you have something called End Times Report somewhere?
Yeah, I did have a website called endtimesnewsreport.com. I don't have it up right now. I'm reworking it right now. But my YouTube channel is youtube.com/prepare333, and that's where I post all of my video reports.
And what are your video reports covering these days?
Well, I'll tell you what. The last few years, my big interest has been the geopolitics of the Middle East, the things going on in Ukraine and Syria and stuff like that. But this last, since January, a big focus of mine has been covering the issues going on out west with the whole mess with Ammon Bundy and the Citizens for Constitutional Freedom, the folks out there that got arrested after they took over the Oregon refuge and had to stand trial for that. That's been a big point that I've been covering. The role of the U.S. government versus individual liberties, that kind of stuff. And more recently, I've done a lot of coverage on some of the satanic pedophile networks operating globally that have safe houses and networks here in the U.S. So it's just a big hodgepodge of a lot of different things.
Let's excuse me. Let's start there. The satanic pedophile networks. Why don't you give us a quick overview of that, and then we'll dive into that in a little more depth.
How I got involved in investigating that was actually quite by accident. I had been doing some work looking into a group called AXJ, Actions for Justice. It was just a front name, a kind of a front organization. And what they were doing was basically going in to, they would find big things going on, such as the events out there in the West, and they were capitalizing on these different movements, infiltrating them, and trying to make a lot of money off them. But they were also working to try and disrupt the movements from inside the movements themselves by sowing discord and turning people against each other. And because one of the leaders of that movement, Lavoy Finicum, had been shot and killed by the FBI, and so this group, AXJ, what they were doing was they created Facebook pages and other sites using his name and image, and they were basically scamming people out of money, getting people to donate money that they thought were going to go to Lavoy Finicum's widow and children, and turns out AXJ was just pocketing the money. So I started investigating them. My goal was just to expose who they were and so on and so forth. But as I got into the investigation, I quickly learned that these people have done this kind of thing all around the world. And some of their key leaders, one was from Australia, one was from Spain, they had a deep history involved in pedophilia. They had been busted by their various governments for child pornography and child porn trafficking, busted by Interpol, and they essentially were flipped and turned into agents that were supposed to be working for these international intelligence agencies to get in deeper into some of these other groups around the world, these other pedophile groups. And so they were essentially given a blank check to operate however they wanted. They were given immunity. That's very frequently what at least here in the United States, that's what the FBI does, and that's what the CIA does around the world, is they take bad people that are kind of at a lower level, they bust them for whatever, threaten to put them in jail and throw away the key, or they can stay out of jail and they can work for the government. And so that's what these people were doing. And so that's how I started into this pedophile ring that these people were involved in. So that's how I got started with it.
So are you saying that this AXJ is kind of a front organization and they infiltrate other groups and disrupt organizations and things like that?
Right, right. Yeah, that's exactly right. They've done it around the world. AXJ, actually in Spain, they established an actual political party and became an actually really big force in the Spanish government for a while. And one of the leaders that was pushing for this over there in Spain, he himself was a convicted child molester. And he ended up in a rift with the rest of the AXJ folks over there, and they separated from him when it became known that, all of these crimes. And he actually fled the country. He was out on bail pending trial for molesting his own child. But while he was out on bail, he skipped the country and came to the United States. He first went to Florida, then he went and settled out west in Los Angeles area around Hollywood, and continued to do things with AXJ.
What was this man's name again?
This particular person was Eduardo Vallejo, was his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Some of the research that I've done, and correct me if I'm wrong, seems to point that Hillary and Bill Clinton may be involved in pedophilia. Have you found that to be true, or am I wrong?
Oh, sure. Yeah, when you take a look at some of the things that came out, not just from WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks was a great source of a lot of this stuff we learned from the Podesta emails. But other sources have also shown us that there are connections between the Clintons and pedophilia, more so with Bill than Hillary, but there's still a connection. They were going out to one of their friends had a huge place out in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Yeah.
Epstein? Is that his name?
Jeffrey Epstein. That's right.
Yeah.
He had Pedophile Island is what they call it. And so he'd fly them out there, and Bill Clinton went a few dozen times, and Hillary went at least six times that are documented. And they would have these wild sex parties out there and using children and just a nasty, nasty mess.
Well, let me ask you this. This is something that I've been pondering as of late. Half of the country practically voted for Hillary, at least if the results weren't tampered with. We would say half
right.
the country, which is very possible that the results were tampered with. But that said, is it just the lack of people being informed about the Clintons, or do you think that there's a kind of mind control that's going on here?
Oh, without question, we're seeing, it's to the point of insanity. And I have to say it's on both sides, but certainly we're seeing this, how so many people could support Hillary Clinton. I can understand maybe when it was just conjecture, before Julian Assange released all of the emails and people could go and verify some of this for themselves. But, you know, maybe before we can give folks a pass, they can say, oh, all this stuff about Hillary Clinton being a criminal, that's you guys on the right saying that. It's just not true. But once this stuff did become public knowledge that was verifiable, and yet she had virtually no drop-off in support, that's what's shocking, is that people openly supported her, regardless of knowing that she is an absolute criminal and in many different ways. That was really, really shocking to me. You know, though, I'm going to get myself in trouble here with Trump supporters, but I see kind of the same thing to a degree on the right, where you see all of the people that supported Trump, regardless of the fact that very few of the policies that Trump was proposing are actually representative of the Republican Party's traditional platform. For example, you know, so I'm seeing it on both sides, and people are just nasty to each other. My background is in politics. I've been a campaign manager for a lot of different candidates over the years. And my family, my grandparents are the ones that kind of started our family out in politics. My grandfather was very political. My grandmother was an elected official. My dad was an elected official. And so I've got a lifelong perspective on the inner mechanisms of how politics works, how things happen inside the meetings, the collaboration. You know, there's plenty of dirty things that go on that are kind of like necessary evils, I guess you could say. So I've been following this for decades and reporting on it, but this year's election cycle is by far the most radically different from any I've seen in my lifetime. The amount of vitriol and personal animosity that people display indicates that they're not thinking through the political issues. It's not so much that there is a debate between the left and the right over the issues. You almost never see substantive debate between people on the internet. What you see are flame wars between people fighting over feelings. Feel like you people are racist, and, well, I feel like you're a communist, you know, back and forth. And it's and that's emotion, and that's indicative of the psychological state, and it is a result of long-term, essentially brainwashing by the mainstream media that pushes this narrative, pushes this need to fight.
Thank you. What I see is like if people are watching CNN and MSNBC and all these other three-letter and four-letter news agencies, it has a toll. It takes a toll on them. And I believe that some of the people that we see crying in hysteria, they're actually experiencing cognitive dissonance, because I think their subconscious is realizing that, hey, they've been getting a lot of lies from the mainstream media, but I don't know that it's bubbled up to the conscious mind yet. So there's this internal pain that they're experiencing. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, it's very real. Yeah, absolutely. You're completely right. It's not that the people are faking their emotions. They genuinely are feeling emotional trauma, many of them. Some of them, of course, are, you know, just going along with the crowd. But a lot of people, what happens is people are attaching it's the way people are constructing their own egos. People take these political campaigns, especially recently, and they attach their own ego to it, meaning, let's say I'm a liberal. I'm, you know, proud to be for whatever, gay rights or other social issues, abortion, whatever it may be. And that, I say, defines me. And so my ego's adding these different labels to what I am. Now I can identify myself. I can say, all right, I'm projecting all of what I am out there onto, say, Hillary Clinton. Hillary is what I am. So when people attack Hillary Clinton, they're not attacking her so much as they're attacking me. This is an assault on my personal character, on my beliefs, on what I am. And so I have to fight back. So and the same thing on the right with people concerned about legitimate concerns about things like immigration and such. And they project onto these candidates their own insecurities, their own emotional turmoils that they have. And it becomes a very personal thing, which is why we see people out there carrying signs that say love trumps hate while they are throwing Molotov cocktails through business windows and burning them down because they didn't get their way in this election. That's just like you said, the cognitive dissonance. They don't see this disconnect between the idea that love is not something that generally results in you trying to burn down someone else's business or beating people in the streets. That's not love, but they don't see it. They are so far removed from that, and it's shocking. We really have got a mass psychosis. It's mass hysteria on a scale that I've never seen before.
Wow, and that's a profound statement, mass psychosis. That was going to be my next question. It's almost like a mental illness has taken over a certain group within the population. It's really sad.
Yeah.
It's scary stuff.
It is. It is. Yeah.
The other thing that you said I thought was so insightful is you talk about them kind of projecting their personal ego on the candidate. So what happens to them also is happening to the person who's just really a voter. You know, it's kind of weird. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've gotten more and more away from thinking. Our education system is deplorable. I've got 8 children. And they've all been in public schools. I've homeschooled a few of them here or there for like a year here, a year there. But for the most part, they've been, grown up in public school system. And what they learn is completely worthless, the vast majority of it. They don't learn anything that is substantive anymore. They don't learn about American history unless it's, a very very revised, politically correct version of history where we look at, say, the Founding Fathers as terrorists or all of our fathers and grandfathers were all racists or whatever. But as far as teaching reality, they don't get it anymore. And here's one that's just a benign example. My daughter is in her third year of Spanish. And so we were riding in the car a few days ago, and she gets A's, straight A's. Every single quarter she's gotten an A in her Spanish class, third year. And I know some Spanish phrases. I grew up in Miami as a kid. But even the most rudimentary phrases she didn't recognize. I asked her, "Where are you from?" And she didn't know what I was saying. And I thought to myself, how can you go through 3 years of Spanish getting straight A's and not be able to speak any Spanish at all? But our kids, my wife and I, talk about this. This is what we see throughout the whole spectrum of classes that all the kids have been taking. They're not actually are getting great grades, but they're not coming out any smarter or any more full of knowledge than when they went in. And that has produce this generation, this rising generation of young people that they feel like they're supposed to be really smart and know all this to go to college, and it's like the first generation we've ever had that comes out of college less intelligent than when they went in.
Wow. Now, you've really hit on something, again, that I'm not as aware of as I'd like to be, and thank you for that. I've heard about the dumbing down of people and the what they call Common Core, I guess, but I hadn't realized the extent to which it has come. Because I can remember I took, like, I think it was 1 year of German in high school. And by your third year, when I was in high school, you would be writing essays in German. You know, you knew it backwards and forwards. I mean, you had written, you know, read three or four textbooks on German by that time, and you better know it too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Gosh. We've really sunk that far.
They,
it's that bad.
Well, it's I've got another student. This past year, I had two sons who graduated from high school. One of the sons, he had been ranked all 4 years as number one in his grade, and he missed being valedictorian by like 0.3%. A girl that he was competing with just barely edged him out. And then his brother was ranked number five overall in the whole school. And yet,
wow.
This son of mine, despite being extremely intelligent in some ways, he cannot spell anything. He doesn't know how to spell there or there. The different there is depending on which context you're using it in. He can't spell a lot of basic words, and yet he was coming home with 4.0 averages in his English classes every year. And I told my wife, I said, we need to contact his teacher and ask the teacher to, you know, give him some lower grades until he learns how to spell some words. But that's what they're doing because of the No Child Left Behind legislation that was pushed by George W. Bush and Ted Kennedy some years back in the early 2000s. The schools now, to receive funding, it's all dependent on the grades of the students. And so what is paramount in the minds of these teachers, or at least their administrators that are pushing the teachers, is to get good grades. So regardless of how well the student is doing, you just give them the grade, because otherwise you are not going to get the state funding, which gets funding from the federal government. You're not going to get the funding that you need for all of the pet projects and the teacher salaries and things that you want. So it's become less about achievement and more about just getting the right grade. It's kind of like how we switched from giving out trophies to children's sports teams based on who wins to giving out trophies just if you showed up, to where there's really no difference between excellence and, you know, average or poor participation. It's just everybody wins, everybody's number one, nobody is more special than anyone else. And it's had this effect of children growing up with an expectation that they should be handed everything, that going up and above is not something that you really need to worry about, because in the end it all just comes out even. You're all going to get the same grade. You're all going to get the same results. And so we now have a lot of social issues resulting from that kind of mentality. It spans a broad spectrum of situations as children are growing up with that kind of mindset.
Jake, we've got a caller if you want to take a call.
Sure.
All righty. Let me bring this caller on. The caller, go ahead and ask your question. Hello, caller? I can see you've pressed one. No question? All right. That's very strange. I don't know what's happening there. He didn't respond. Anyway, so do you think it's the word processors? I think word processors have had a, you know, like Microsoft Word and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think that's had a bad effect on me as well, you know, because it corrects everything for you.
Right. Yeah. Well, for sure. It's a different generation. My generation, I'm in my early 40s. We didn't have most of this until maybe late into high school. We started getting word processors with spell check, but now everything has spell check on it, and so you don't need to actually know how to spell. You just need to know how to click the button to do the spell check and correct the words and grammar for you. And you know, I don't want to sound like too much of an old, you know, old timer, because it's really not a bad thing, this technology, but it has created a situation where if we ever do have some kind of problem with the breakdown of technology, if we ever have, heaven forbid, something like an EMP that goes off or something that wipes out our electric grid, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I guess I do. You do too. We're going to have mass chaos because America is so addicted to technology. We've gotten so far away from our roots, people don't know how to do anything anymore without electronics.
Exactly. I want to shift gears back to something we were kind of touching on earlier. What about the Democratic National Committee there, I guess the DNC, doing satanic rituals?
Yeah, well, we had the issue of spirit cooking was what came out. The DNC emails revealed that Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta, he and his brother were invited to a particular, supposed to be a dinner, and when you read the emails, it seems rather benign, but when you do some research into what the terminologies mean, what spirit cooking is and stuff like that, you find that it's actually direct, it has direct occult connection. In with this particular artist, Miss Marina Abramovic, she's an artist, if you can call it that. She does has a history of doing some really bizarre kinds of art. For example, she went to one gallery and just stood there naked, and on the table next to her was a loaded gun, some implements used in sadomasochism, and she had a sign that said, "Do whatever you want to me." And so the people were whipping her. One person put a gun to her head and was acting like they were going to shoot her. But this was her form of artistry. And another kind of art that she does is she goes around and she takes buckets of different kinds of fluids, things like blood and semen, and she mixes them together and then uses a paintbrush and writes strange sayings on walls and buildings, and that is art. And so the people come through and look at it. And so one of these emails from John Podesta showed that she was going to be doing some kind of spirit cooking thing at her house for just a very small audience, and the Podestas were invited to go. And what it revealed is that these people, at least some of them, are very much aware of these occult rituals. What Ms. Abramovic was doing is not just art by itself. She didn't just come up with this out of nowhere. Some of the phrases that she was writing with the blood on the walls are taken from a particular source. It's taken from a ritual manual from a group called Ordo Templi Orientis. And this is a secret society where their primary thing that they do is they engage in sex magic rituals. They have orgies and they go through. It's similar to Masonic rituals. It has a similar format, but they do it with for the purpose of summoning energies and demons that are supposed to endow them with power as a result of this sex magic. And the source of a lot of these rituals is none other than Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley came up with a religion called Thelema, which is based on the idea that you can attain occult powers from another dimension if you can appease the entities in that other dimension. And to satiate the desires of those demons, you have to do things that cause extreme emotions in the participants. And so these rituals were designed to cause the participants to put themselves into extreme states that would I guess, satisfy the demons. And it included a lot of different kinds of sexual activity. It very often included the use of children that were basically bought from the child sex slave trade. There was child sacrifice described in this manual. And so Abramovich was taking phrases and code words and things out of these rituals, and that's what she was creating. So it's not that she's just somebody who's very eccentric. She's someone who actually is an adherent of this Thelemic sex magic system. So to be inviting someone like Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman to come and participate in this in a private setting, that's very disturbing. That says, you know, that's not something that a normal person does.
And again, I bet the average supporter of Hillary, the average supporter of Podesta knows nothing about this, right?
No, no, they wouldn't know anything about it. And the only reason that we know anything about it is because of the WikiLeaks dump, releasing the tens of thousands of emails. I mean, we've always speculated, but we haven't had any verifiable proof. I've done a number of videos on this, and they can be found on my YouTube channel if anyone wants to learn more about the details of it and see photos of this work. I've done a lot of work on it. And even the people who are anti-Hillary Clinton who watch my videos and make comments, it's new to the vast majority of them as well. So it's certainly not something that the mainstream media is ever going to cover. But I think that one of the reasons that they get away with this is because it sounds so ridiculous that who's going to believe this? Who is going to believe that Hillary Clinton's campaign, the guy running her campaign, is participating in pedophile sex magic rituals? It just sounds so much like a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory that you automatically dismiss it. And you don't give it any thought whatsoever. It kind of has to be, you have to sit down and look at the facts and then judge what you want, how you want to handle it. And so few people actually care. Like I said earlier, it's not so much that people in this election were that concerned about the issues. It's that they were injecting their own personalities into it, and it was a war of egos between people on the left and the right for justification and self-assurance that they are okay and everybody else are the bad guys. And so people weren't really looking at the issues, and that's why so many people did. They just don't pay attention to this kind of stuff.
Well, could you give us your YouTube channel one more time?
Sure, sure. It's youtube.com/prepare333. So youtube.com/prepare333.
Excellent, excellent. I'm going to have to watch some more of these videos. Now, this group that performs these rituals, are they called Ordo Templo Orientis?
Yeah, Ordo Templi Orientis.
Orientis.
Is the name of it. They have this is one of the main secret societies that when you talk about the Illuminati, this is one of the Illuminati orders. These are people talk about Freemasonry and everything, but quite often it's the people at the lower levels, the entered apprentice through the master mason. They have no idea about what happens at the highest levels. Well, this Ordo Templi Orientis is like that. They are very quiet about it. Very few people know about it. One of the ways that I learned about them is that when I was doing research into one of the people from AXJ who's operating out of Brisbane, Australia, researching him and the pedophile network that he was connected to led me to some articles from Australian papers talking about lawsuits from a person who was trying to expose this satanic pedophile ring over in Australia. And it was a big deal because there were some very big name politicians over there who got busted, who were found to have been participating in this sex trafficking network. And so the Ordo Templi Orientis was being sued by this particular woman. And the lawsuit ended up getting dropped. No surprise really about that, but they try and maintain utmost secrecy. They're very similar to the folks who operate at the Bohemian Grove out in California each summer. Very similar kinds of activities go on between the two groups.
Do you think the Democrats do these rituals to help them with politics?
I don't think it's so much about helping them with any particular, like trying to forward any political issues. It's about personal power.
Okay.
People have money. You look at George Soros, he's got all the money in the world. He's worth about $25 billion. Hillary Clinton is surrounded by people who are multimillionaires. It's not that the people are trying to make more money. When you've got all the money in the world, what you might not have is power. To gain power, they truly do believe, some of these people that are in the highest levels of these groups, they do believe that you can gain greater power from, whether they call it Moloch or Baphomet or Satan, whatever name they attach to it, they do believe that there is power that comes to you as a result of giving the kinds of worship to these beings through the sex magic rituals and things like that. Ted Gunderson is the name of a former FBI agent. He was actually a director over multiple locations. He directed the FBI in Los Angeles for a while. He directed the FBI in, I think it was Denver, but also in Dallas. And he was up for, at what one point was being considered for the position of the director of the entire FBI. He spent years neck deep in these satanic pedophile networks, trying to bust them up, trying to help the children that were being kidnapped. He's one that did a lot of work with the Johnny Gosch case and things like that. And he said that these people are really doing these satanic rituals. And you trace it back to this belief in the Illuminati. It seems like today the folks in the conspiracy theory circles, we talk a lot about the Illuminati, but nobody really knows what they're talking about. That's just kind of the name you give to whoever the bad guys are. It's the Illuminati. But there really is a network of people who do call themselves the Illuminati and who do pull the strings throughout the world, especially in Western civilization. They do believe that if you reach out to these dark entities that you will be endowed with power, and so that's why they do these things. There's a whole lot of homosexual activity at the Bohemian Grove and also in these Ordo Templi Orientis sex magic rituals, not for the sake of like homosexuality. It's not so much that the people themselves are, say, gay or have sexual attraction in that way, but it is the act of doing it, especially for people for whom that is not a normal kind of behavior. It puts you into such an extreme state emotionally that energy that is created from this is what satisfies the appetites of these demons that they are trying to appease. They really do believe it. Anybody can say, you know, I don't believe in that, but that's fine. These people do believe it. They do believe that they can get power. And so they engage in these extreme rituals. So you ask the question, are the Democrats trying to do this for any particular agenda, only a personal agenda. It's all about the individuals, all about the folks pursuing their own agendas, and this is one way they can do it. It also links them all together, because once you have participated in one of these rituals in front of other people, you're stuck for life. They're always going to have something to hold over on you. With, for example, Skull and Bones, we know that they, as part of the initiation, the induction ceremonies, there's part of it is sodomy,
right.
And there's confession of your greatest sins, the worst things that you've done before the body of the group, because you have to be able to have absolute secrecy in order for the people to keep everything, to keep the power centralized. And so by participating in these various activities, the Salima sex magic and the other things, aside from maybe granting you the power that you're seeking, what it does is it gives the group itself power over you, and you help each other. But then again, you can also destroy anyone who tries to step out of bounds or doesn't toe the line or carry the flag for the group as they're supposed to.
You mentioned Ted Gunderson, and he's talked about sex slaves that were even used by our presidents, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Ted Gunderson talked about a lot of stuff related to it, and I wish I could remember more details about it, but even during the Reagan-Bush administration, the Washington Post, I believe it was, covered, they did a series of articles after it was discovered that there were gay escorts going to the White House servicing people at the White House. Now, I'm not saying that Ronald Reagan and George Bush were, you know, calling gay escorts, but it was front page news for a little while, and because it was irrefutable. There were gay escorts going in and out of the White House, and that's a common thing that we see among these people, and it's not just in the United States. They do these things around the world. In fact, one of the people, during one of my investigations, I tracked down, I was actually studying a real estate scam that AXJ was involved in, and one of the people that had been helping with the scam was a Russian woman. And so I started doing some looking into her, and I found that she was involved with this network that goes even deeper than AXJ. AXJ is kind of like, they're the hooligans up front. These are real low-level grunts compared to the people that are deeper in. But this woman, she was from Russia. It turns out that she had been working in the sex slave trade as a Russian prostitute, but she is now working for the United States State Department. She's in Washington, D.C. She works, her day job is working as a Russian language teacher for diplomats. That's kind of what she gets paid to do. But what she's also doing is she is helping to coordinate the some of these sex slaves that are being used for the parties up and down there in Washington, D.C., the parties where we've had people like Corey Feldman and Corey Haim used to talk about it going on out in Hollywood, but we also have it going on in Washington, D.C. quite a bit. And she supplies some of the children for these parties, for visiting dignitaries who come over who are also part of these deeper networks. It's kind of like we've got the Bilderberg Group, which is essentially the recruiting arm of this New World Order system. And the Bilderbergers, they're always trying to tap new talent from governments and corporations around the world and keep pulling them in. So that's also what this network does, is they bring these dignitaries in, they provide them whatever services, sexual services they're looking for. Anything goes. They can have, if it's, you know, just the, I'd say, bread and butter heterosexual prostitutes, they get you that. If you're looking for something more aberrant, they provide you with that. I actually spoke with this woman. I called her up at the State Department, and at first the State Department did not want to admit that she even worked for them. I had to call multiple times, and finally the person who was her direct supervisor, when I asked to speak to this woman, she said, well, she just transferred to a different department. I said, okay, well, can you please give me the number to that other department? She had asked me why I wanted to talk to her, and so finally I said, well, I'm an investigative reporter. I'm doing a report on, and I talked about the real estate scam. And so I hung up, and not 5 minutes later, I got a call back from the woman, and she wanted to know where I was getting my information. She didn't deny any of it when I was asking her the questions. Her concern was not that I had found it, it's where was it. I think that her big concern was trying to find if there was a leak somewhere, how I was getting the information,
right.
So they could patch that leak.
So where did we go wrong? I mean, has the government always been this strange and this corrupt, or what has happened here? It doesn't seem like it was this way 30 or 40 years ago, but maybe it was. I don't know.
Yeah, it is shocking. The world around us seems to be going nuts. We're seeing all kinds of things happening at an escalatingly fast rate. The pace of all of this is really being hastened. And a lot of it does have to do with the decisions that the government is making that has brought about. We're looking at just a lot of potential calamities all at once. Everything from the problem of peak oil, we've got a looming economic collapse. There's with what's going on over in Ukraine and Syria, we've got the potential for major wars, including World War III. And we're witnessing the disintegration of the moral fabric of society.
Yeah.
Any one of these various issues could, you know, it's a nightmare on its own. But when you look at the fact that these things are happening simultaneously, that they're all coming to a head at the same time, I mean, this is scary stuff. So you ask yourself, what is the driving force behind all of this insanity? The truth is, the issues aren't separate. They're all interconnected. Once upon a time, America was a nation of free people who acknowledged that our rights came from our Creator. We believe that because rights came from God, that no man and no government, no nation had the right to infringe on those rights. And so we were largely free and prosperous. You didn't have the thought police like we have today. But this started to change. You know, we could go back to like the mid-1800s. That's when the change started. It started slowly, but then it started picking up momentum. More and more people turned themselves away from these simple lives of thrift, lives that were connected to God and to the earth and nature, mm-hmm. and they started gravitating toward a society that was built on ease and luxury. We had industrial and banking barons. We've got the Rockefellers and the Morgans who joined up with foreign industrial and banking giants like the Rothschilds. And together, this network of people, they decided essentially to conquer the world and place themselves and their colleagues at the top of this global power structure. And so to do that, they had to infiltrate governments. They had to buy up politicians like trading cards. And then they use these crooked politicians to set up all of these unconstitutional central banking systems, not just here in the States, but around the world. And they have destroyed our agricultural systems. They've taken control of the world's presses and media, and they're pushing wars on us. So what is happening now, in my opinion, is that they have finally reached such a point of control that we are experiencing the natural consequences of the American people having been negligent and in doing our duties to be very vigilant against corruption in our government. We got trapped with sitting around eating TV dinners and watching television shows instead of paying attention to what's going on in our local governments, what's going on in the state government, and trying to rein in the excesses of our federal government. So we were basically given entertainment kind of like a drug. We've become like heroin addicts. And all we want is more and more entertainment. Give me more, give me more. I don't want to know what's going on in the government. Sure, I'll pay attention and make some comments once every 4 years, but that's the extent of it. The rest of the time, I'm going to be binge watching on Netflix. You know, I do that, sure. I admit it. But at the same time, we are leaving our government to the dictates of this New World Order cabal, the people that control the Council on Foreign Relations and the other think tanks that influence our foreign policies and domestic policies. We're letting them run the show. We're letting George Soros determine what's happening because he's active and involved, and we're not. It takes a whole lot more involvement from the American people than what we're doing now. Just simply going in onto Facebook or social media and posting some pro-Trump memes or, you know, I'm with her logos or whatever it is, that's not enough. That's all superficial. What we need is to realize that we need to be self-sacrificing citizens. We need to be involved in the activities and machinations of our government, and people just, that's not entertaining for most people. And I think that the only reason that this election cycle had an increase in the number of people paying attention to it is because it became more of a circus this time around. Donald Trump was very entertaining. Hillary Clinton, had it just been Hillary Clinton versus, say, Mitt Romney, it would have been so much different. It would have been so boring that lots of people that chimed in this time would not have paid attention. So,
one thing I like about Trump, and I did vote for him, one thing I really do like about him is that he had the courage to expose the corruption. I've never, ever heard a politician come out that way and expose the corruption.
You are absolutely right. And now, I certainly had my concerns about Donald Trump, but I did do a lot of pro-Trump videos on my channel, and there are things, proposals that he made that I really liked. But the one thing that I saw, I posted one of his speeches. It was one of the greatest speeches of anybody. He was down in, I think it was Florida. I can't remember where he was at right now. But the way that he talked, I don't think it was him that wrote the speech, but he still delivered it, and it was still representative of his personal opinions. The way that he went after the power brokers and talked about this New World Order system and the bankers and what they were doing to destroy freedoms, you're right. Nobody has talked that way. Ron Paul did from time to time. He believed all of those things, but he was also trying to avoid, I think, a little bit of the accusation of being a bit of a conspiracy theorist himself. He talked about it some, but the way that Donald Trump just hammered away at that and went after these giants was very shocking to me that someone would come out and do that. You truly have to be an independent person to speak out against these people the way that he did. That to me was reassuring that he was willing to take these people on in a speech in such a vicious way, in the way that he attacked them, that's not what you do if you're secretly a puppet of these people. Now, a lot of people, you know, Hillary Clinton, we know from the leaked emails that she, behind closed doors, tells the bankers one thing and comes out publicly and takes the exact opposite position to please the masses, you know, whatever sounds politically correct or whatever she needs to do to win votes. But Trump was pretty consistent in that way, and you're right.
Yeah, I wanted to give the users again your website. It's, if they type in www.youtube.com, prepare333, it looks like it redirects, right, to your End Times News report or something like that?
It may redirect just on the YouTube channel.
Okay.
Yeah, it may take you to a different page on my YouTube channel, but it's still the YouTube channel. So youtube.com/prepare333, and you'll find my videos there.
You've got one. We're not going to start this topic tonight because this is another show for sure. But the first one there, pulsating UFO over North Carolina. I interview a lady named Mary Joyce who has a website called Skyships Over Cashiers. Are you from North Carolina?
Yes.
Do you know her? Oh, you are. Okay.
No, I don't know her.
You don't know her, but you do know of all the sightings in North Carolina.
Yes.
That's very interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. Well, Jake, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this evening. It's been a very, very interesting conversation, and I imagine you have a whole lot of other information that I look forward to chatting with you sometime about. And thank you for doing all this good work. I think it's
absolutely
very important. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I love talking with other folks who have their minds open, and you've got a great audience, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Jake. Have a great evening, sir.
Thank you so much.
Good night, folks. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Good evening.